To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan.
Welcome along then. Stephen is off. It's Chris Buckler in for a Nolan Free Nolan show. And today's top story. It's a big budget for George Osborne and the Conservative Party tomorrow. The first budget by a Tory-only government for the guts of two decades. And the Chancellor has already made clear that he intends to cut the cost of welfare. Part of those savings are expected to come from a reduction of the benefits cap. Currently, the cap is £26,000. That's £500 a month for a working household. In London, how much households can claim is expected to be reduced to about £23,000. And outside London, we know it will be lower, perhaps as low as £20,000. If that was to be put in place in Northern Ireland, would that affect you? And is it right to cut welfare payments? 08459 555 678. We want to hear from you today. Welfare is, of course, a devolved issue, but as Stormont is well aware, that if benefit cuts aren't put in place here, then the Assembly needs to pay the difference. Edwina Curry is on the line, former, of course, Conservative Minister and now commentator. And do you think Northern Ireland should have to pay alongside England and Wales in this case?
Good morning, Chris. Well, of course they should. Of course they should. Everybody has to. And it'll be very interesting indeed to see what the Chancellor comes up with tomorrow. But the idea of, for example, reducing the cap from 26,000 to 20,000, as I understand it, the average income in Northern Ireland is only about £17,000. So it would still mean that families on benefits were, well, how should I put it, doing reasonably well. And actually, since everybody else is having to pay for it, maybe that's not the right thing to do.
It's not doing reasonably well, though, is it? I mean, these are vulnerable families. These are families, and of course, we're talking about a household cap here. So in many cases, we're talking about families who are having to cope on this sum. Whenever you start to compare it to what individuals earn, it's not quite the same thing. We're talking about families here.
Well, that's absolutely right. You're talking about disposable household income, I think is the correct economic term. And the fact is that for some families, still, they're getting more than they could possibly bring in earnings. And the fact is that the family next door are the ones who are at work, and they look and they see the family on benefits has got more money, and that's not right. You could add to the mix, if you like, Chris, that the average family in Northern Ireland is forking out every year well over £5,000 in tax. Wouldn't it be nice to pay less tax, have lower benefits, have everybody in work, and have Northern Ireland moving, like the rest of the United Kingdom, into prosperity?
The commentator Eamon McCann's on the phone. Certainly I can imagine that some people out there will be saying, yeah, let's pay less tax.
Well, Mr. Curry mentioned there, you know, sort of working families and the fact that some of them will be looking at their next door neighbour and feeling very resentful in the morning because the next door they were on benefits and earning even more. This is an absolute myth. And it presents a picture of people on benefits of being sort of scroungers hidden away behind their curtains while resentful, hard-working people have been have to trudge off to work in the morning. What nonsense that is. I know nobody at all who thinks sort of that people on benefits are actually doing better than people in work, because it's simply untrue. It is quite simply untrue. And the idea that you can reduce the cap, and as you say, the talk is that it might be reduced from places like Northern Ireland down to £20,000. If that happens, the people who will suffer most immediately under the arrangements, which have been widely canvassed and leaked, that would be children in poor houses, because of course they're going to reduce the number of children you will have who will contribute, as it were, to the amount of benefits that are being received, I mean, from 4 to 2. That's what they're going to do. It's absolutely predictable. It is a statistical certainty that more children will be plunged into poverty by this measure. And we already have far too high levels of child poverty. We already have a situation in which the Assembly, after years, hasn't even published a child poverty strategy. You take these things together, and the likely impact of Mr. Osborne's measures tomorrow that is going to be bad for the poor generally, or people in the bottom half of society generally, sort of across the north, and particularly bad if you're a child in a family on benefits. And incidentally, one last thing before I start. The idea that there's this sort of gap between, there's this sort of rigid dividing line between sort of those on benefits and those working. It's simply, okay, most children living in poverty, for example, sort of are living in houses where there is somebody working. They'll be affected, sort of tax credit changes, which Mr. Osborne is already proposing, so it will make that even worse. All in all, this is going to be a bad budget, and particularly bad sort of the lower down sort of the income level you are, and one has to hope that the Assembly simply says no.
I love the way that Eamon says one last thing before I start. Not before I start, before I start. Edwina, here's the thing, OK? This is the first Conservative-only budget. For
18 years.
For almost, yeah, I was going to say almost
18
two decades,
years.
OK? And the first thing that happens is they attack welfare. It's not just a case of reducing the benefits cap. It's also talk about saving money through tax credits. Again, low-earning families. These are people who are working in cases, you know, perhaps not full-time, but certainly having to look after kids. There is this perception that this is the nasty Tories out again and off the leash that at least the Liberal Democrats kept them on.
It's funny, they just won an election. Excuse me. They just won an election against all the odds.
And that means they're free to do what they want.
That means they have a mandate to do what they said they would do in their manifesto and what they said all along that they would do, which is mainly, in fact, to get rid of the deficit, the whacking great deficit, which is adding to the mountain of debt that this country has.
No matter what pain it causes families.
Of course it's going to cause people pain because we've all got used to it.
And that's okay.
Well, of course it has to happen, Chris. It has to happen. Have a look at what happens in Greece, where they have mountains of debt that they cannot repay, that they cannot even pay the service on. They can't repay their tranches they're supposed to. As a result, they have got people not having any money at all. We do not, in this country, want to get into the same state as Greece. And that means that the deficit, the annual deficit, the money that we spend that we don't have coming in tax, has got to go. It's got to go. And one of the things this government is absolutely determined to do is not do it by increasing taxes, because we think that the already people pay, as I say, £5,000 per household in Northern Ireland. We think people pay quite enough in taxes. So you've got to get your spending down. The largest single budget is benefits. And what we have shown in other parts of the country is that it works. It works. When you reduce the benefits, you get people out of that dependency on benefits. Then you will find that actually the economy starts to move, the private sector starts to grow, and people suddenly regain the confidence of going to work and being able to put food on their table themselves through their own efforts, not by having to go down to the benefits office.
Eamon's used the word scroungers, this suggestion that some people, from your political perspective, I think was the sort of the suggestion that Eamon was coming from, is viewed these people as scroungers. Is that fair?
I'm an economist. I'm not sure what Eamon's background is, other than obviously that he works for the trade unions. But as an economist, I would say that if you have a choice between a high income and doing nothing and a low income and having to work maybe, you know, 60 hours a week, it's a rational decision in the interests of your family to try and keep the high income. And that's the pressure that's on people. Of course, if you've done it for many, many years, or if you come, you know, if your family, your parents were in the same sort of situation. Remember, I come from Liverpool. Then you actually don't know how to work. You don't have the skills. You don't have the know-how. It's very, very hard switching from being dependent on benefits to getting a job and to holding down that job and to be able to work in a team and all the other aspects of it. But it's important, and it's good for the economy. It's good for the. I had a look at some figures.
You did avoid the right question, which was, do you view these people as scroungers?
No, I don't. As I say, I think they're making a rational decision. But I tell you what I did do. I looked up the figures because the benefits cap came in 2012. And I had a look at the figures in Northern Ireland. And at that time, receiving over £25,000 a year were about 5,000 families. I haven't noticed that suddenly they're in destitution. About 16,000 families receiving between £20,000 and £25,000 a year in benefits. That's only 2% of all households. We're not talking about enormous numbers of people. We are talking about two things. We're talking about enormous amounts of money, but we're talking about a shift in attitudes, okay. A shift in attitudes that says that when you earn the money yourself by the sweat of your brow or by your brains or whatever or what you do, and you put the food on the table for your family through your effort, that's something you should be proud of. And it's a much better thing to do, even if it's less than you could get by just going down to the benefits and getting it from the taxpayer.
OK, if you would like to speak to Edwina and Eamon, 08459 555 678. They are lined up already. Let's go to John, who's in Belfast.
Hello. I work 80 to 90 hours a week, and it's because I have to, because I'm on benefits, but I'm also a carer. So I mean, the Currie's argument is blown out of the water there, because carers in Northern Ireland and Great Britain aren't looked after.
We'll speak to Edwina, John. She's listening.
Well, I mean, I work 80 to 90 hours a week, mm-hmm. as a full-time carer. I'm not entitled to... All I've been entitled to is a state pension at the end of it. I have saved the government probably hundreds of millions of pounds over that time I have been a full-time carer.
Can I just mention to you, John, that I was looking at some of the figures a little bit earlier. Very large numbers of families in Northern Ireland are getting less than £10,000 a year in benefits. Many of those are pensioner households. So you're not affected by the cap. You're not affected by the changes that are being discussed right now. The people who are going to be affected by it are people who are bringing in £25,000-£26,000 a year in benefits. And it doesn't sound like you're one of them.
I'm very sorry, because that's regarding housing benefit. Housing benefit in Northern Ireland, if you're a private rental landlord, you have to pay out of your benefits X amount of money per month to make up the deficit between the two, housing benefit.
Oh, so what you're saying is you should have 100% rent rebate and everybody should pay for
that?
Well,
I'm a full-time car. Why not? I'm saving the government money.
May I just ask, John, and I'm sure you've done this already, have you ever worked out how much from the person you're caring for, who presumably has a disability benefit, for your carer's allowance, for the housing benefit...
£62 a week.
No, for the council tax benefit. Have you worked out the total? I did this for someone the other day, and it came to £20,000 a year, and she was astonished.
Maybe she was astonished that you'd ask such a crass question in the first place.
Again, Wina, another problem I have at Wina with Ian Duncan Smith, let's say him, he's in charge of it all, it's his department. That man cannot live within his means. He maxed out his expenses card account.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, he's telling people on benefits they should live within their means, work pays, and he can't even work out his own expenses card without maxing it out.
Well, somebody else wants to speak about something associated with this. Let's speak to Robert, who's in Belfast. Robert, you've got a concern here about millionaires specifically?
Good morning. Good morning, Owena.
Good morning, sir.
My name's Robert Owena. I would like to say, is it not very cheap from the Chancellor and David Cameron and the Tory party when they're ignoring and they're attacking the most vulnerable people at the bottom of the well in society, when they're ignoring millionaires, billionaires, multinationals who are evading millions of taxpayers' money and tax havens all around the world?
Well, specifically...
It's an important point, Chris.
In terms of specific individuals, though, there are plenty of people who do pay their taxes. There are plenty of millionaires who do contribute to society. We have to make that clear as well.
Well, nobody's disputing
Those millionaires are putting huge amounts of money into the economy as well.
Well, my line of conversation is, save the address, the millionaires and the billionaires and all the multinationals who are evading billions of taxpayers' money, there would be no need for welfare reform. That's my line of conversation here.
If people were paying, and the George Osborne has indicated, Eamon McCann, that he is going to tackle the issue of nom-doms. However, I mean, you heard Edwina Curry earlier on there say very clearly that they've been voted in. They can do what they want. They are now a single-party government. They are off the leash of the Liberal Democrats, as I said earlier on. And this is the way it is. I mean, the votes have been counted. Conservatives are going to do what they want.
Well, that's true. We all know that. I mean, they did, of course, get substantially fewer than half the votes. Was somewhere in the 30s, and the proportion of
they still won, Eamon.
Sort of, Eamon.
System. No, I just finished this point because we just had a statement from Miss Curry questioning, sort of putting questions to the man who's a full time carer. In the course of putting those questions, and despite the fact that she claims to have spoken quite recently to people who were on benefits and got some of them to break down where they came from, she mentioned sort of the income of the man who's a carer without mentioning at all the fact that the situation is already getting and will get further get sort of worse for that man because of the cutbacks and respite provision if you are looking after somebody, because sort of the closure and cutbacks in residential homes. So it's getting worse at both ends. Less money for such families and less provision for them to give a full-time carer any relief at all. There are people because of these measures, and I know some of them, people who are in their late years, in their 70s perhaps, sort of with a person, a son or a daughter who needs full-time care and everything in their 40s.
That's got nothing to do with this.
What are they supposed to do when
respite
closes down? That's what's happening, and that's what Ms. Curry, who hasn't the slightest understanding.
Okay, let Edwina respond.
He doesn't want me to respond because he knows I talk a lot of sense. Now, look, the care situation is a responsibility of people in Northern Ireland, and I'm absolutely with you, Eamon. I would like to see, partly because I'm heading into that category, 70 is not old. You know, we've got 500,000 people in the United Kingdom over 90. That's starting to get a bit old. The Queen sends out 10,000 telegrams for people over 100 every year now. That's getting old. We need to think very much harder about how we're going to look after older people. That's absolutely right. And more money is going to have to go into that. But it'll only go into that if people who can work are in work and paying taxes instead of having benefits. As far as the gentleman is concerned, as a full-time carer and as a pensioner, he sounds like he's a pensioner, then I would say he's not going to be affected by this benefits cap. He's not getting enough benefit for that to be a problem.
Let's talk about people who are working then. Peter's on the line. Peter, you've got an issue about tax credits.
Well, I was just thinking people are going to have to work now because they get help with tax credits, which probably helps pay towards their rent. So I wonder what I'm going to say is, if they were to cut it down so much, I wouldn't be able to work. So if they cut it down enough, there's people going to be unemployed, those that have been out trying to work, that are, because they're not going to get the help, they're going to go back on being unemployed. So unemployment is just going to go up. You know what I mean?
And Edwina, that is a worry, isn't it? I mean, tax credits have been something that was put in place specifically to encourage people out to work, and all of a sudden it looks like the government's going to cut them.
Well, the shift that's happening, it hasn't happened in Northern Ireland yet, but it's happening very successfully in many parts of England, is the shift to universal credit. And that takes six different benefits, rolls them into one, and is very cleverly attuned to what you're earning. And much of it is administered by employers. So they've been working very carefully.
Universal credit is basically nothing new. It's a roll-in of all the benefits that currently exist.
If it was nothing new, and it isn't nothing, it's quite substantial amount of money, then that would be a good thing.
It's a way of delivering benefits a lot cheaper.
Chris, I'll tell you one of the groups that should be thinking very hard about the future, because one of the things that's going to happen that hasn't received a lot of attention is going to be far fewer people on the public purse in terms of civil service and so on in the next few years. And those people in Northern Ireland faces considerable changes from that, because you have a much higher proportion of people in jobs that are paid for by the taxpayer than the rest of the UK. And that's going to change. So anybody that's in that kind of job now needs to be thinking, should I set up a business? Should I become self-employed? Do all the sorts of things that people have done in England. And you know what? Then all your hard work's rewarded by real money and by really earning good money. And then you'll be paying the top rate of tax, which everybody's complaining about.
And I have to say, Eamon, there are some people who agree with Edwina Curry. Let's speak to John, who's on the line, 08459 555 678. John, what do you have to say?
Good morning, Edwina and Eamon.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My point is to Eamon. He had mentioned earlier about people on benefits, paying curtains. I work all ours, God sends, it's mainly for in council housing.
Right.
And the people that live there are predominantly on benefits. And what I see in their houses, I certainly couldn't afford. with their plasma TVs, all their mod cons. At Christmas times, their kids get scramblers, quads, you name it. They're spoiled rotten. Now, that's not all the houses, but a lot of them are like that. And I certainly couldn't afford that for my kids. And it sort of makes me think, what entices people to go out and work? You know, do you work to live, or do you live to work? Are you better getting benefits and enjoying time with your children?
Well, Judge, if you're coming back to me on that, to be honest, sort of, that's a caricature of you. The idea, sort of, and you say, sort of, that you're going around council housing all the time, and you implied, sort of, that you see this very often, sort of, in a routine way. Sort of, you see people, sort of, living a very good life. In actual fact, if you look, sort of, at benefit levels, sort of, and see what prices are, you must know, sort of, that simply is not true.
He's saying the opposite. To be fair, Eamon, he's saying the opposite.
Sorry?
He's saying quite the opposite. He's saying what he sees. He says that he sees something completely different. Isn't that right, John?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Well, it is true. I don't know how else they're getting their money, if that's what you're implying.
I'm just wondering, what's happening here. Everything I see around me has been purchased, has been bought. From state benefits. I mean, you don't know what the family situation is. You don't know if this family sort of is one of the many families.
Well, I know when I'm knocking them out of bed in the mornings and they aren't up at 11 o'clock.
Hang on, Eamon, when you say it's complete nonsense, yeah. You're basically calling John a liar here.
Well, I'm not calling him a liar. I'm saying that if that's sort of his conclusion of his interpretation sort of the situation which he claims is widespread, I'm simply telling him it is not widespread. No piece of research anywhere.
I wonder how Eamon knows.
And what is more,
because one of the reasons people are telling me that the people in houses are liars.
Hang on. Everybody cannot talk at once. Edwina.
Hello.
Edwina, your go.
Hello, Edwina.
I was just wondering how many ordinary houses Eamon ever goes into.
I'm sitting in one.
No. Apart from your own.
How many do I go into? Probably dozens every day. I come from an ordinary street and an ordinary background, you know, and insofar as I go into my relatives' house, I go into the homes of my neighbours, I can assure you that they all are, by any definition, ordinary houses.
All
I
right.
know what I'm
and
talking
none of them,
about.
And
anybody else to report their observations.
All right. And are any of them on benefits with a big plasma TV, Eamon?
There may be some of them with a big plasma TV. I don't have a big plasma TV. Mind you, that's because I don't want a big plasma TV dominating my living room. But look, the general point here is a very important one. We hear all the time, sort of, we listen to the success of the media and the success of Tory propagandists and people like Edwina Curry. When we hear people being divided among themselves, instead of standing together and realising that the low-paid who are being ruthlessly exploited, sort of, in low-paid jobs and with zero-hours contracts...
Now, that's a good point.
Okay. Hang on, I want to bring in somebody else. Let's speak to Ross Brown. Let's bring in Ross Brown from the Green Party, because he's been waiting on the line for a while now and he phoned in. 0845955678. Ross, what's your point?
A couple of points, Chris. First of all, this is being turned into a debate between those in work and those out of work. And the reality is, 60% of the debate have actually been to those who are in work. Tories are claiming to stand up for the working people, but they've now pushed more people who are in work into poverty than people who are out of work in poverty. And the second point is that the whole claim behind all of this is that this is to cut the deficit. Yet in their forthcoming budget here, they're going to be cutting inheritance tax. So it all doesn't really add up. The reality is the Tories are a party for the rich, the cabinet of multimillionaires. And the whole folly of the argument of Edwina and the Tories' argument is people are poor because they're not poor enough.